You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Swolecast. We have an exciting show on tap. Not a lot of offensive linemen like we usually do before the draft, but that's okay because we have a lot of position players that are going day one. So talking about that, and really, what are the fantasy implications? Because that's what people kind of want to learn, and you're at the right place. It's also the fourth birthday of the individual Swolecast channel. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the draft coming up. And I'm sure a lot more. That's next on the Swolecast here on RotoGrinders.com.
Can you hear me static from the Swolecast? I was like, yep, that's me.
I just want you guys to know I'm total dust. I'm the problem.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Leave it to the guy with the crypto dunes, Abby, to not understand content.
I should have known you getting 30 likes was directly written by someone else.
You know me. I don't do a ton of research before the show.
I put no research into this. Don't know if it's true at all.
You're on the right show.
To it, bro. Live a little.
Live a little. Just live a little, guys.
Welcome in. It's David Kitchen here alongside my trusty co-hosts, the guys that were here no matter what, Davis Matic and Peter Overzet. For those expecting Patty Millions, Patrick Corain, he's not here. He's not here. And he's prioritizing other things over the show. And, you know,
who are those other things, David? What is he prioritizing over doing an offensive lineman bit here on this Swolecast?
I think it's I think he cannot get away for 1 hour from his newborn. So I think that's it.
Well, considering I'm in a group chat with him right now where him and Gretch have gone back with over 100 messages in the past hour, I'm starting to think he might have had some free time.
Tell him to come on. Tell him, send him the StreamYard if he wants to come on. He's more than welcome.
I mean, compare and contrast that to Mr. Petey Millions, talking about CSU Ram, who was broadcasting from the labor and delivery room where he was at. Just
it was as his child was being born, he had the idea for Lucky Trader. That was the kind of creative inspiration the delivery room brought to him.
Paul V said paternity, Pat. So no, seriously, Pat, we wish you the best. And you know, I'm glad that people are taken off for paternity stuff. I'll say that from my experience, there's only so much time you can take off before you need a little bit of like sanity of the normal day-to-day grind of exchanging fantasy trade text. So glad to see Mr. Pat back in the streets.
Well, here's the thing. I guarantee you they're not even discussing a trade. They're like going to be going over the finer points of Aeneas Smith's yards per route run or something. Like it gets pretty contentious in the DMs. I've been in the middle of a Sam Sherman, Pat Corain debate, and there are a lot of messages exchanged.
I can peel behind the curtain for our draft show tomorrow on ship chasing, which Davis is going to be a part of. Kitchen, I think your invite got lost in the mail.
Oh, wow.
We like to save you for once a year and let your StreamYard tricks really
I get it.
You know, impress. No, Underdog's going to do a giveaway for us, and we have to pick some higher and lowers on draft positions. And so they sent us over some to pick. And so Pat and Gretch have been going, arguing back and forth about like Brock Bowers, higher, lower, 10.5, AD Mitchell, higher, lower, 27.5, because we will unlock $500 giveaways for each one we're right. So there's a lot of onus and responsibility on us to get these right.
Nice. I was listening to a leaf off the tree, Anthony Amico. His this is like his time. He was on JJ's podcast, was on obviously the established.
He doesn't get a branch. He's a leaf.
No, he is a branch. He is a branch. Okay. Like he's an original.
Right, right. But that's what I figured. But you said a leaf, so yeah. You know, I was like, yeah, just
a leaf. Cool. Leaf and a branch. His branch is big time
leaf,
growing around.
Leaf is derogatory. Leaf was derogatory.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's not what I meant. It wasn't any sort of tree shade.
Your tree is so large now that you basically need a pair of binoculars from your trunk just to see everything on the edges of it.
Yeah. I bought 5 trees and planted them around the yard last week. And of course, people do know it's Earth Day. It was Earth Day earlier this year. Earlier this week. So, happy Earth Day to all those that celebrate. Let's get on, though, to really the draft is tomorrow. We're feeling things out, trying to figure out what's going to happen. Dan has given me these like can't miss parlays with with Jaden Daniels going number 2 overall
as a part of this. You already lost. Already over.
And so, Davis, I did see your tweet where it's just like the books have him at like -400. Like that means it's like gimme.
Jaden Daniels very well may be the 2nd overall pick, right? Totally possible that the Commanders do actually prefer Jaden Daniels over Drake May.
Yeah.
But this is being traded on these sports books like is like Zach Wilson going to the Jets, right? Like this is just fait accompli. It's happening. And then at the same time, you've got Schefter, you've got Breer, you've got Rap Sheet saying very clearly, no one from Washington saying anything. No one from the Washington front office is telling us one way or the other. And actually, on the contrary, you've got Jaden Daniels' agent being pretty clear. His guy doesn't really want to play there. Now, I don't think this is an Eli Manning situation where he's going to like demand a trade or whatever, but it sounds like he would prefer to not play for the Commanders. So I obviously have bet Drake May at 2, so I'm bag protecting a little bit here. But I think the odds should be like Jaden Daniels -150, not -650, which is what it is now.
Yeah. Ben Bauer said Will Levis was like -500 to go top 5 this time last year, the day before. So again, and that's just a lot of it is just the hype.
That was one of my greatest draft bet wins ever. I bet Levis exactly to the Titans because they had pick 4, right? Or pick 5. Yeah. And I bet Levis exactly to the Titans and hit it in round 2. Beautiful. You love the backdoor win.
Yeah. And fellow Branch Amico was saying like this is the time where he's actually listening to, you know, 3 or 4 guys that if there's enough smoke, he is kind of figuring out what that is. One of the 4 guys he mentioned, he said the tier 1 was Daniel Jeremiah. And Daniel Jeremiah just now sent out a tweet. It said, to summarize my last 5 phone calls, everyone is moving up for an offensive tackle.
Yeah, that's not true. That's a lie. He's getting lied to. No one's moving up for a tackle in this draft. Maybe one trade is a move up for a tackle, but even that would be surprising. Even one.
Pete,
I've heard the same thing, Dave. That everyone's trying to move up into the back half of round 1. But I mean, Davis has better sources, so like, let's just stand down.
I'm not sourcing anything. I'm doing the same thing Nico's doing. I'm reading all this crap on The Athletic and from all these guys. There's no wizardry to betting the NFL draft. It's pretty simple. You need to lock in big numbers as early as possible. You need to get as many good random 30-to-1s. Like a lot of sharp draft bettors got Neighbors to be the first wide receiver drafted or first non-quarterback at like 75-to-1 when DraftKings and FanDuel first posted them. And now it's like 10-1 or whatever. And it's like, sure, that might not win, but if you just do repeatable things like that for 2 months while we're ready for the draft, you're going to end up generating money.
I just feel like the Titans are in an amazing spot at number 7, because even if Joe Alt goes off the board, now everyone kind of has them mocked with Alt, the first offensive tackle going to them. But even if the Chargers or Giants take Alt, and you've got like three or four quarterbacks off the round, off the board, that's going to leave you with like a playmaker. MHJ probably will have gone. So like Adunze.
David, you're getting the second best offensive tackle in the draft, and I just need you to be okay with that. Also, are you going to let?
Well, no. This is the offensive lineman episode, so tell us who the first one is.
Joe Alt. No, Joe Alt is going to be the first lineman.
I just said Joe Alt.
And then you just said, tell us who the first lineman is going to be. Those are the words you just said to me. So I was just answering your question.
Okay. I'm not sure where you misread that. I'm saying if Alt goes off the board before the Titans can draft, they're going to
Fashanu or Latham. Latham, the Alabama guy. I don't know. That feels more on brand for this new regime. You take the Alabama, the 5-star recruit guy.
But if they do that, they'll probably trade back. What I'm saying is that there's going to be a playmaker on the board at 7 if Joe Alt goes top 6. You're going to have Neighbors or Adunze or Bowers or anybody there that the Titans could use in their offense.
Yeah, but the Titans are not going to take Adunze, I don't think. That's my feeling is that they paid Calvin Ridley a bazillion dollars to avoid doing that.
He's almost 30 years old, Davis. And this guy's coordinator.
People do forget Calvin Ridley's as old as me. People are saying Calvin Ridley is fake young. People are putting it in the streets.
He's an offensive coordinator. But anyways, I feel like the Titans are in that sweet spot. Whereas if you're behind there are some teams that need offensive linemen. The Saints kind of are one of those guys that will trade up for Fashanu.
The Saints have nothing to trade up though. The Saints are so fucked cap wise. Like they really can't do that.
Guyton, Latham, those guys. Like I said, this is our 4th anniversary of our individual Swolecast channel. So when just think what 4 years ago was.
Is that producer Devin with a fake applause? Look at this.
That was really good. Yeah.
Oh,
is Sosa going to get Wally pipped?
Oh, I thought that was Pete. I thought you were like opening something up and eating it. Like I thought that was a rapper.
No. I mean, I have been eating, but I can't summon a round of applause from out
so
of
4 years ago, 2020, and the world is shutting down, and we just decided to open up, and we that was NFTs, that was anything and everything that could be covered. Or maybe NFTs, that wasn't until 2021. This was just like esports. This was whatever
this was,
we could talk
was
about.
This was like League of Legends DFS tutorial. Yes.
Pete actually was in the League of Legends streets. And we did have the draft. You know, this was like when everybody's drafting at home, when Bill Belichick was had the dog drafting for him. And
people forget I won the flagship League of Legends GPP on DraftKings. People do forget.
And the Madden simulations. Do you know who the first guest or the fourth member of this show, the first episode we did was? Can you guess?
The first guest?
Yeah, the first guest that we opened up the new channel.
Leone?
No.
JJ Reeves?
No, it's actually... Silva. Close. Let me do this right here.
TJ Hernandez.
TJ. Yep.
I love that he, of all the people in the industry, that's like directly synonymous with just taking a rip.
He doesn't even, I think if I remember correctly, the bit is that he doesn't even really smoke that much. It's just that he lived in California. So Dave and I were like, oh dude, you're a huge stoner.
It was more Tuttle than anything. Tuttle was the big perpetuator, but yes, that was the stoner thing. So yeah, he was that. And then Davis was really upset about one thing. The draft had just happened. What do you think Davis was just pissed about?
Could be anything.
2020.
Oh, Clyde.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was really upset about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he was right. He was absolutely right. So,
shocking.
Over 500,000 people have watched our channel since then, and those are the stats. Sign up or click the subscribe button because we need to get to 6,000 subs.
The road to 10,000.
Road to 10K forges on. All right.
A long ways away right about now.
Pete, where are you right now? Just in the best ball streets, in the draft streets.
I'm excited. I'm excited for it all. I just dropped a big Best Ball Mania preview on the Deposit Kingdom channel. So yeah, ready to blast off in Best Ball Mania. Excited for our draft stream tomorrow night. You know, just living the life, Kitchen.
Okay. With that being said, would you like to give the overzets overview?
No, just whenever you're ready. I mean, by all means, take your time. I mean, I'm in no rush to provide some content for this show.
Play the clip, Devin.
He's got that dog in her butt. He's got that dog in her butt. Overzets overview. Come on.
Thank you, Kitchen.
Sorry.
Better late than never. No. It is time, though, for the definitive 2024 NFL draft preview. Who needs insiders like Dane Brugler and Peter Schrager when you got David Kitchen presumably pumping Eric Decker for Titans Alpha at the communion altar? Who needs Lance Zierlein when you got Davis Maddock predicting every single running back and wide receiver in this class will go to the Chiefs? Who needs Mr. Tuttle 05 when we are so capable of booking additional guests to fill his spot? We did it. We did try, guys. We tried for about 20 minutes and then we gave up. But nevertheless, like cockroaches in a post-nuclear fallout, the Swolecast persists. We don't have producer Soso with us today, derelicting his duties for one of the most important shows of the year. Fortunately, producer Devin is stepping in. We just need to all pray that he's ready to toss up some barely relevant gifts 2 minutes too late. I hope you can do that for us today, Devin. We also normally have our offensive line guru, Pat Corain, on this show. A bit that was much funnier when he wasn't a multimillionaire. We'll survive. I'm willing to pick up the slack, though, as I know many offensive line prospects this year, like Joe Alt and Joe Alt. has anyone called him Joe Altright, by the way?
No. Where's he from? Dude, we gotta do some research.
He's a corn-fed white boy who went to Notre Dame.
This is such you don't know. This is East Coast bias. Minnesota, one of the biggest lib states in the union, dude.
No. This guy, we gotta make it. Davis, I'm sure there's a MAGA post somewhere in his Twitter feed that we can unearth and call him Joe Altright. In other news, Davis had Dylan Lauby on the Tate Cast. My favorite part was Davis asking Dylan questions about the combine and then cutting him off to explain to him how the combine works. It's clear that Davis has moved on from Laird, swapping him out for a younger, hipper version. And while he was out glazing Lauby to save his dying Twitter account, I, the forever loyal one, behind the scenes was liking every Instagram story from Laird's honeymoon.
Same.
So there you go.
Same.
David.
He's having a much better month than I am, that's for sure.
I'm the true fan. Built different. Back to you, Dave.
Thank you. I'm surprised you didn't say anything about me body bagging Davis last week in the X streets.
Did I miss this one?
Yeah, I missed this too.
I think so.
You have debuted it. What was it?
You liked it. You liked it.
Sorry. That was so long ago. There's been so much that's happened since then. Remind me what the post was, Dave.
Davis left up a tweet that only had two likes or three likes.
Okay. I told Leonie I would. I said for 2 weeks, I will not delete anything.
And so I mentioned that in my post making fun of Davis. Really, I said I was proud of him, personal growth, but it got over like 100 likes. So
I just pulled up, Devin, if you want to screen share this here. Yeah, yeah. God help whichever NFL linebacker and D lineman have to try and corral Jade Daniels. This is the classic Davis cosplaying as Scott Barrett on Twitter.
The other thing is, The other thing is, you know how sometimes you can like take the original X video and source it? There is none of that. He just ripped this.
That's wrong. That's wrong.
Where did it is not. From, look, you can see in this tweet. You can see the screenshot.
So this is a 13-minute highlight video on YouTube that I ripped, deleted all the passing plays. This is just all a running plays. So I edited it.
Hang on. You went through it? You edited it yourself?
Yeah. Why not?
Holy shit. I haven't seen you produce any content ever.
any video I post that is highlights of a player is downloaded from YouTube and then select the plays that look good to me.
Where do you edit it in?
Camtasia.
Really?
I'm impressed.
That's from the FI days.
You guys know that I like did video editing. That was like what I wanted to do.
I got you hooked on Camtasia, TechSmith Camtasia. That was what you used to use back in the FI days.
Yeah, to do FI videos. Yeah, it's the same program I've had.
Your video editing is directly from Dave's tree, is what I just heard.
No one uses it anymore but Davis. Like,
I mean, it's just so simple for Twitter clips. Yeah. It sends it out in the there we go.
Google is me.
Yeah, shout out Just Bombs Productions though. Just Bombs Productions.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
We saw it on the watermark. Well, a few people saw it on the watermark. Let's move on to tomorrow. First round. What would you love to see, Davis, personally? You personally, what would you love to see tomorrow?
Drake May getting selected second by the Washington football team would be good. I would like that. That's number one.
Your bags.
Number two, bags. And, okay, I mean, this is the way it works out. Caleb goes to the Bears. May goes to the Commanders. Jane Daniels goes to the Patriots. J.J. McCarthy goes to the Vikings. That's four offenses for fantasy that just got better than they were last season. Bears offense is better for fantasy. Commanders offense is better for fantasy. And the Patriots have one player that you actually want, which is Jaden Daniels. And the Vikings basically just are the same team from last year. If it flip-flops and Daniels goes to the Commies, then I'm like, great. I got a mobile athletic quarterback with Cliff again. I didn't love the way that worked out the last time I saw it. And then you have Drake May going to Siberia. And then it just is like, you're just like, we just need it for the good of the game. Please do not have Drake May go to the Patriots. The light in his life, the fire in his heart is going to go out so quickly in New England. I can't have it.
What about the Chiefs?
Dylan Lauby, first rounder. Redo the CH pick with my best friend, Dylan Lauby.
He did. Look, I'm hoping that's their second round pick. I'm hoping Lauby is their second round pick. I would like... Number one on my wish list is A.D. Mitchell from the Kansas City Chiefs. One, because I think he's really good. And then two, so all these yards per route run nerds have to absolutely suck it and rank him as the fourth best wide receiver in the class because he's going to be catching passes from Patsy.
Okay.
Xavier Worthy to the Rams also. That's high on my wish list.
I thought you'd want maybe Worthy to the Chiefs.
No, we already have him. His name is Mecole Hardman. We already have him. His name is Richie James, brother.
And he was so valuable to our organization, we cut him loose. Just to bring
we traded
back
for him, though. We realized we made a mistake. It was begging at the feet of your ex to have them back was the Mecole Hardman situation.
So let's say that like Chiefs or Bills draft a wide receiver.
That's happening. Where,
as far as like draft capital, where does that put that wide receiver? No matter who it is, where does that put him for you?
I mean, it's hard to say without knowing where Brian Thomas Jr. goes. Like if Brian Thomas Jr. is on a purgatory team, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. is a Steeler, then I think the Bills or Chiefs guys, wide receiver four. If Brian Thomas Jr. is, I don't know, if he is a Ram, if he is a Saint, if he is an Eagle, then I think you can talk yourself into whoever the Bills Chiefs guy is still wide receiver five.
So like A.D. Mitchell.
I mean, A.D. Mitchell, I just told you where I want him. I want him to fall to pick 32 to the Kansas City Chiefs.
But to answer your question, Dave, I mean, last year, all of the first round wide receivers were going in the top 84 picks in underdog drafts in the top seven rounds. And like any of these guys, A.D. Mitchell, Brian Thomas, whoever Binks first round draft capital specifically to one of those last 10 teams who pick in the first round, like they're going to be like fifth or sixth round picks. Like Pete, if Xavier Worthy goes to the Rams, like he's going to be a fifth or sixth round pick.
Got that in at 25-1. So that's
I shouldn't
that's
have
another,
even brought it up. You're just bag defending.
That's another bag. Okay. I have not seen very many people float this one out, Peter. But the Cowboys have a real need at wide receiver. Their second wide receiver is Brandon Cooks. They cut Michael Gallup. Their third wide receiver is a guy they did not trust to play at all, Jalen Tolbert. And they have just the Kevontae Turpin, like a bunch of just random guys, right? So
some might say that TD is not a generational wide receiver. Some have said on the show before.
Some beta males might say that, but they would be wrong, obviously. But if Brian Thomas Jr. is a Cowboy, I mean, can't this dude be like a fifth round pick, fourth round? I mean, maybe a fourth round pick, really.
He's already a back end of round five pick. Like he would definitely. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why I didn't love selecting Rome in Brian Thomas in early drafts, because I'm like, how much more can they realistically move up? They're already baked into like a near perfect spot.
Weirdly, I think that if Rome goes at 9 to the Bears, which is what my fan fiction is, I actually think he falls. I actually think he's likely to fall from where he was in the big board.
It's not just your fan fiction though. That's been the chalk mock draft spot for Rome. And that would be bad for his year one fantasy value for sure.
The someone in the chat mentioned that Amiksta dropped his latest draft and it is spicy. Looking at it, it's got the Jets trading up with the Titans to grab Rome, but like the first 7 picks is like a Scott Fishbowl draft. It's Caleb Williams, JJ McCarthy, Jaden, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. Like
I do love that the mock draft industrial complex is just getting thrown in an absolute conniption by this year's draft, because the insider information has been so it's been really unreliable, because teams picking at 2 and 3, it's new front offices, new ownership, and that makes it harder for the information to be gained, because the local beat guys, the athletic guys or whatever, they don't have the relationships to get reliable information. And because it's quarterbacks, and because we've already had the Vikings trade up, it's like everyone's final mock draft 6.0, the final reckoning, is like they're all gonna be screwy compared to years past. Like there's not a chalk top 10, which I kind of like.
Cards draft Marvin Harrison Jr.
Factual. Yeah, that's going to happen.
Where does that place him for next year?
Oh, let me guess. Wide receiver 9, back end of the second round.
Pete, you agree with that?
Say that again.
Wow. Marvin Harrison Jr. gets drafted by the Cards. Where does that put him? By the time the season starts next year, where is his draft position?
I think it doesn't change much from where he's at right now. I think he's like a mid second round pick.
David doesn't know where that is.
Mid second round pick.
Yeah. Well, most people don't, that aren't sickos, that haven't drafted.
Who do you think is watching this show? What do you think the audience for this show is, Dave?
Today's show is people that wanting that offensive lineman alpha. And speaking of Latham, Olefushanu, Amarius Mims, Tali Fuaga, Troy Fatanu, all drafted. Tyler Guyton, Jackson Powers Johnson. There are like 8 offensive linemen taken in this mock draft that Amiko just posted.
The line on DraftKings is 9.5 offensive linemen in the first round.
That's crazy.
Do you know what's been a kind of an interesting thing, like listening to the rhetoric about like the trends with how people think wide receiver is going to go, and like, you will hear people say like, okay, the wide receiver stuff maybe got too frothy. Maybe we're not going to see as many go initially. And it seems like they're right, like trend wise, but then all of the people are applying that like in a blanket level. And I continue to not see Xavier Worthy in a ton of first round mocks. Like they'll put, some of them will put him to the Chiefs at the very last, but a ton don't include him. And it's like this weird stuff where it's like, I will bet so much money Xavier Worthy is a first round pick. But I'll probably be wrong on like a ton of wide receivers getting drafted. And it's just weird how I think the mock drafters, like they're pushing toward like what they think is the macro trend, but then just trying to pick their spots of where they're actually wrong on that, applying that.
Yes. Yeah. I think you make a very good point, which is like you do need to identify those trends. You do need to be heavy on edge players, wide receivers, quarterbacks, wide receivers. I said wide receivers twice, like because that is what the NFL is going to do. But it might be like Ladd McConkey might go at like pick 22 or whatever, you know, even if he's not really being mocked there, because after like pick 10 or so, teams' big boards are going to start to look a lot different from one another's.
Yeah. This is a fun draft as far as position players and not knowing what's going to happen. And there's going to be so many trades in this first round. I think that's what's going to be fun.
Probably less than people think. Isn't that kind of always the way it goes? There's definitely going to be one big one. I would lay minus 10,000. There'll be a trade into the top six.
I think that's the really, I feel like the JJ McCarthy is kind of like the hinge point for like how crazy this, you know, top 10 picks get, because I saw the reports that maybe the Vikings, and who knows if they're just trying to drive the cost down and they still do really want McCarthy, but saying like they have some interest in Bo Nix and like, hey, we're not going to mortgage everything to move up to like four or five. And the further they're willing to let that slip, the price becomes way more palatable. But we could just see some fireworks if someone wants to move up that early, or if JJ McCarthy like surprise went two or three, then some team is unloading.
If that happens, if McCarthy goes two, if some team, if the Commanders take McCarthy at two and some team does not move heaven and earth to get up to take Dre May, I will have lost faith in the collective organization of the NFL.
No, someone like, will. Because like, I don't know. I mean, Drake May, I guess, is still somewhat polarizing, but like not near as polarizing as McCarthy. Like some teams will be very high on May.
Some team would just be like, there's no point in doing the McCarthy thing. Like there's no reason to.
Staying on trend for this mock draft, the spicy mock draft. How many trades do you think he has?
I've got it pulled up right now. I think it's five.
I think it's more than five.
I mean, I'm not going to go through and command F, but whatever.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
But are you counting them both ways? Are you set, like when it says trade with Denver, trade with New York Giants, are you counting that as one trade or two trades? Because these teams are trading picks with one another.
Six. Okay.
Yeah. So I will say this. The back end of these mock drafts, you know, where you start to have, it's really just all cornerbacks and wide receivers. I just think, and maybe I just have poison fantasy brain, but it is crazy for me to be like, yeah, the Lions are going to go to the clock and take a defensive lineman or whatever. Like, does, like, maybe it does happen, but I think it could be, this could be an all-time fantasy football virgin draft where it's like, holy shit, Ladd McConkey, the wide receiver 9, just went in the first round. Like, I think we could, like, because Worthy and Mitchell, to me, are locks. So then that's 6 first-round wide receiver locks.
For the speed, and I know maybe people might be a little gun-shy because of what happened with John Ross, but, I mean, didn't Ross go, like, 8, like, off the board?
To the Bengals.
To the Bengals, just because of his 40. I mean, if a team likes him, a team likes
the
him.
The Las Vegas Raiders still exist, right? Am I right, Dave?
Oh, I think it was Silva's mock that had the Raiders at 13 taking Penix.
Well, that's what Schefter was just on one of these talk shows. I don't remember the name. And he said 6 quarterbacks are going. He said Nix and Penix are going.
Look, so how are these? Like, how
it's
are
not,
there?
It's
like,
not happening.
11 offensive linemen, 6 quarterbacks.
The 6 quarterback thing is a lie. It's just not happening. If a team spends a first-round pick on a 24-year-old who had 4 consecutive season-ending injuries, I just don't – I do not know what the purpose of that would be. Penix and Nix are the platonic ideal of an early second-round pick. They are bad first-round picks.
Well, they're already – and you you already have multiple Penix and Nixes on your team. Like, you have Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. Like, that's that
caliber. Gardner Minshew is literally just Bo Nix. Like, maybe with a little bit more risk-taking to him, but yes.
Do you know what I think is bumming me out a little bit with, so you have the Brian Thomas kind of like off-field injury thing, potentially. You had the AD Mitchell stuff with like the diabetes and like whatever. Like, it seems like that stuff is somewhat impacting how they feel. And I was hoping we would get like the Colts taking Brian Thomas at 15 and just triggering a wide receiver avalanche.
Run.
You know, the Cowboys are like, give us AD Mitchell. And then the Bills are like, what the hell, man? Like, now we're scrambling to get up there. And then the Bills are taking Troy Franklin and it's like chaos at the end. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen if Thomas and AD Mitchell are sliding further back.
If Thomas, that's a great point, Peter. If Thomas gets past pick 15, I think it could just be a 5 wide receiver draft or whatever. And then Bowers is kind of the other sliding door, because you start to look for spots for him. And if the Jets don't take him at 10, it's hard to find a real obvious team that would really like to take him after that, to the point where there we go. Chip Skylark, he knows. Eric Ebron went 10th. So Brock Bowers confirmed top 10 if we were doing John Ross draft capital determines worthies. Great point. Very great point.
And this Albright draft that just was published 5 minutes ago has Roma Dunze sliding to 15. Like, there is going to be someone that slides.
I mean, okay, enough fan fiction. Roma Dunze is not going to pick 15. Put it on the board. I will go ahead and stake my name to that. Roma Dunze will go before pick 15.
Okay, and I did want to ask you about San Francisco, because that's the other thing. They've got two receivers. They might trade one of them. Which guy would you like to see being traded away from San Francisco? Ayuk or Debo?
Well, I think the 49ers are a smart organization, so they realize one of these guys is expendable and one of them is not.
Yeah.
I think you realize one of them is older and more injury prone and you keep the other. Glad we agree on that.
Oh, Brandon Ayuk is a stealer. How much a $4,800 week for Brandon Ayuk are you going to be playing?
I can't wait. It would be like Pickens like would be like 4,400 and IU could be 4,700 every week.
But where, let's say your guy does get traded, where would you like to see him traded away to? Like, what would be a theoretical spot you would
The Bills. The Bills, I mean, it's just the nut spot. I mean, Brandon IU could be like 108 in drafts if he got traded to the Bills.
Oh my God.
He really would. He would freaking steam up.
I want as much craziness as possible the first 2 days, Thursday and Friday. Give me as much crazy. Here's
what I don't want. I don't want the nightmare atomic war scenario at wide receiver, because then the Chiefs will just take some fucking cornerback, right? Like if Keon Coleman is a first round pick, the Chiefs are going to be like, look, guys, we love you. We're not taking Roman Wilson at pick 32. Like, it's over. And they'll just take Nate Wiggins or whatever.
An offensive
line. Is there anything more perfect than the steam right now being Xavier Legette to the Panthers? Just like,
no, this, it's beautiful.
It's
beautiful.
So hilarious. They're like, we want to do the Jonathan Mingo thing again.
Well, and he's, and just like the, oh yeah, they've called me 5 or 6 times, just eating that up. Carolina boy would love it.
Well, Dylan Lauby did say he knows the Chiefs are high on him, so maybe there could be a surprise in at pick 32.
Our generation's Jerick McKinnon.
I love it.
More and more people are saying it.
Just a reminder to like and subscribe, and that next week will start coming every week to the Swolecast. You don't have to wait every other week for your Swolecast fix. Was that an applause? Or is that someone opening up the...
No, that's me eating beef jerky.
Okay.
Dave, what is... Yeah. Let's just get into this a little bit. What is sort of your Best Ball Mania 5 plan? Best Ball Mania is going to open on Sunday or Monday. Are you going to be in firing right away? Are you funding the underdog account already? What's sort of the attack plan there?
I think last year was a solid year for me as far as like starting off slow and just kind of getting the ball rolling. And I think for content, it's good. Just and it's, might
it's
mix
definitely
up.
Good. It's definitely good for content for you to have the least amount of idea possible coming into our shows.
I mean, the third show that I drafted, or the third draft that I drafted, was the one where Pete advanced and I almost advanced. I had an incredible team. And the second show too, like it was I think it was good content and pretty profitable.
Are we gonna draft a week from today?
Oh yeah.
Well, let's see. I mean, let's.
Yes. Yes, Peter. Here's my advice to the people out there. I find myself getting fatigue, obviously, of drafting towards just like getting bored of it by the end of August.
No.
So,
do you think that could be because you did 150 drafts before the draft even happened? Could that contribute to the fatigue?
I didn't last year. I did not do the big board last year. So what I'm saying is I'm going to try and bank as many early as my little fingers can handle, because then that opens up. I've got more time to do the puppy, the Pomeranian 19, you know, the golden doodle. I could get 1,000 entries in best ball this year, I think, if I really grind.
Yeah. And if last year taught us anything, is that both early drafts and late drafts could be profitable. I mean, people forget, over like 100,000 people had drafted a drafter's draft, and I was in the top 100.
People,
and that was a cumulative draft. There was no
people do forget Dave's 87th place.
It doesn't matter when you draft, and then just fucking in your drafter's team. Like, no reasonable.
Because I drafted Kyren Williams and Puka at the end of the season.
It is true, Dave. People do forget your 87th place drafter's best ball championship.
How much did that pay out, Dave? We don't congratulate you enough.
I think it was 2,500 or 1,500. I mean, it was.
That is wrong.
80th place? That is, I mean.
That is not true.
There's no way, Dave. There's no way. It'd be the best contest in the history of fantasy.
In my memory, I think top 50 through 100 pays out $100, I think.
No.
It would have had to have been a $5,000 buy-in contest.
It might have been 750. I don't know.
It's definitely not, guys. It's not 750.
How about this, Dave? Let's get to the bottom of this. Have you withdrawn the money?
Of course, I'm withdrawing everything at the end of the year.
I like leaving that money for myself on these sites when I come back in May, and I'm like, oh, sick! Like I got money to enter.
I did see that I had $28.50 in my underdog accounts, and so I was really happy to log in and see that.
What's your username on there? I'm doing research.
Don't, because I might not have been top 100. I might have fallen out the last 2 weeks.
Nope. All right. I logged in. I can do this right now.
All right. 87th place, which isn't you, got $500.
Okay. So I was right. $500.
So you were off by a 5x magnitude.
No. I mean, I was in the running for 2,500. I can't remember that far back.
Dave would have had to have finished in the top 15 to get 2,500. This is the kind of revisionist history you did.
I was thinking about one of my other finalist teams. The year before that. You never know.
He was in the running. He was in the running to be in
I was. I had everybody hurt. Everybody got hurt those final 2 weeks, and it really hurt me. Because this is cumulative scoring, which is like the biggest test of skill. If we're being honest, there is no like luck boxing week 17, you know, it's a grind.
The skill is managing both of those elements, Dave.
Yeah.
That's the skill. What's your username on this godforsaken site?
Soccer Dave. What do you think it is?
I can't even find your team up here, and I've scrolled through the top 150.
It might be David Kitchen. I don't know, but it's one of the two.
Whatever.
Got a new phone. All right. Gobbler says he agrees with me.
Gobbler, I've seen Gobbler in the chat. He has rough shows. I don't know if that's the guy you want to be siding with for the scheme of approval.
I am looking forward to more content as far as the best ball stuff and just playing into. I feel like it's not even a bit anymore, but seeing Davis live a little this year. This summer is going to be inspiring. Because remember last year, he was just making fun of my first couple of drafts. And those were the drafts that did well because I was drafting like a half a round off.
Dave, how many finals teams last year?
I think we average percentage wise, you and I had the same amount. You just did
well,
more.
No, your percentage was, well, I had two semifinals teams and you had one.
But I did not max out Underdog. I did max out DraftKings.
I can't even talk about it. It's just too annoying.
Here's the thing, Dave.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with you. Brian Hooper shamed me into being a different person. And really,
it has to do with me, but the fact that you got shamed by someone else into something I have been saying is all that I needed. I know you're not going to listen to Dad.
Here's the thing.
But you're
at
listening
at the end of the day, I spend about $10,000
the exact same thing
every year. And if I lose half of that, I'll survive. If I lose half of it, it's fine. So I'm going to lose anyways. I might as well lose with a lot of Dylan Lowby.
No, the best part about all this is, so Davis has his like reclamation project. Brick shames him into being a player stands guy. He drafts like 96% of these guys. Then Sacrilegious drops his article on Legendary Upside about stop diversifying your players and start diversifying your teams. And then Davis is in there trying to fight back.
I'm not even fighting back. I'm just saying I reject the premise. I'm just saying the premise is that if you don't want to lose all your money, you should draft different combinations of guys. And I'm saying I'm the best drafter in the world, or at least I'm going to pretend that I am, and therefore I'm going to draft 500 of the same team this summer.
There's a reason you mentioned all those $3 tournaments when you're talking about the ones you're going to max out, David.
No, I'm maxing everything. If the tournament gets launched on underdog.com in the year of our Lord 2024, I'm pressing that enter button.
What is your motivator this year, Davis? Because we had last year. It was the Chasing Kurain year. Still Chasing Kurain?
I'm chasing Soccer Dave.
Kurain is just on the... Kurain is on the beach right now, hanging out with his beautiful partner and his beautiful child in San Diego.
No, he's not. He's arguing about where Brock Bowers is going to get drafted with Gretch.
Well, that's the thing, is you're never really happy, but one must imagine Sisyphus happy, Peter. One must imagine Sisyphus happy. And for me,
Kurain? You want to chase Kurain, or is there another thing you're chasing? You just want general clout. You don't necessarily want Kurain's clout, right?
General clout. Correct. Okay. Although I did need to mention this. Ben R in the chat. I met Ben R at the bar 2 weekends ago. And I was making slow draft picks in the little board too. So shout out Ben R. We had a
someone
moment.
Check this IP address. This seems a little fishy. I met Davis at a bar.
That's true. And yes, obviously the money is a good motivator. Yeah. But you want to know what'll really get my X views up? Putting Little Board 2 champion in my bio on Twitter.
I think it is a volume game for you, Davis. You are the volume receiver that you draft enough teams this year. One of them hopefully should bink something.
Davis is doing the equivalent of like old school DFS screenshot marketing. Yes. Just enter, but Davis can't win one to even get to do the false post.
I'm essentially Tommy G-ing it, where I'm like, I'm shipping it, and then but I can't even do it.
Update it. If I had 6,000 teams, I would have won them too. Exactly.
If I had 6,000 teams, I would have. I actually did do a mental health moment. This week, Underdog did a $5,000 to first tournament just this week for the Sickos. Warm. And I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
If I win this tournament, if this is the tournament I win, it's not even one Ethereum to first place. Yeah. You know what? I'm just not doing it.
My only request is that you not get your wife an account and then draft 150 on there as well. And then when she wins the million,
do you know me at all? I literally would never do that one.
And then when she, let me finish. When she wins the million, you don't screenshot and be like, we did it. Because that did happen to a famous bachelor, bachelorette couple.
Yeah, I mean, that's so long ago now that that's almost like kids don't remember when Tanner Tolbert, Max entered on his reality TV wife's account and won the Millionaire Maker. Here's the thing, Dave. You should know this. I would never do that because if my wife's account won, then I would not be able to get the clout from it.
But that's what I'm saying. You could still brag and say, we did it. So, all right, we have to get out of here. I got a heart out. And so appreciate everyone tuning in. Davis, you have anything you want to plug? The lobby?
Yeah, lobby interview. It's pretty good. He's very entertaining.
Does he play anything other than football? Anything that helps him, maybe?
Yeah, lacrosse. Big lacrosse player going up. That's just, I asked him if he golfed and he didn't seem that into it. He's big into lifting weights, but he's not allowed to conventional deadlift anymore.
What about
hex bar?
What about pickleball?
That's when I turned it off.
Never heard of her.
Pete, you did a selfie while you were driving and you were in peak pickleball gear. So the season of redemption is going to happen.
What is peak pickleball gear?
I think he just needs to be wearing like a Nike dry fit.
Like your leisure wear, you're wearing like the Ben Johns undershirt underneath there. Like you were.
We got a good.
It was not pickleball wear.
Devin, can we pull up GTO Hurricanes comment here? We got it. We got him going absolute nothing for 30 minutes. GG. Sir, what did you expect? What did you think you were tuning into?
Good.
Davis and Kitchen argued about offensive line prospects at the top of the show. That was like the best you're going to get from us.
I think Pete's comment about Davis telling Dylan Lobby about interrupting him to tell him how the combine worked.
That's good. That's top
one of his
five
best overset lines. It was overset overview lines. That was good. Pete, do you have anything to say to the people?
Is this to fulfill your heart out?
Yeah.
You're getting us out of here?
Yeah.
Were we doing plugs still? Yeah.
You can.
Check out Davis's podcast with Lobby. Check out, I did, Kitchen, you were literally starting to describe some of the things I talk about in my big Best Ball Mania preview.
Correct.
The different edges to push depending on when you're drafting, including on opening night. So check that out. Check the ship chasing show tomorrow night. Sincerely, Dave, if you'd like to swing by.
I do
have a note on that, Peter. I'm free all night tomorrow night, so I can just stay and hang with you guys if you want.
That's not how that works. Maybe you should have thought about that before you bodied me out of doing the Lauby interview. So you'll get your 45.
I did not body you out of doing it. It was last minute. He changed the time on me, so it would have had to have literally.
Oh wait, we are supposed to do it together?
No, Davis didn't even. Davis admitted on Twitter that he thought about asking me, and then knew. That, you know, just me, the way I kind of body the mic and kind of hog all the attention.
It's not about that, Peter. It's just I wanted my own thing for once. For once, can I just have my own thing?
Yeah. Well, maybe start by not ripping someone else's YouTube videos.
I wanted my own thing.
All right, that'll do it. Special thanks for producer Devin for filling in for Sosa. We'll see you next week here on the Swolecast on RotoGrinders.com. Peace.